The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, November 12, 2017, and is sponsored by Jim and Carrie Heckenleibel.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It is great to be gathered together in the house of the Lord this morning. Welcome to guests and visitors, to all of us today. It's good to be together today. And today our theme has to do with stewardship. We're in a three-week theme called 500 and Free as we think about the Reformation 500 years ago, the anniversary of the Reformation this year, 500 years. And so today we continue with stewardship. This time I want to invite us to stand and to join together in our opening hymn. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another, pausing for a moment of silent reflection. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer of the day. God, renewer of life and only reformer, you surround us with a great cloud of witnesses throughout time and place, whom you have called into your work, witnessing to your gospel of liberation by grace alone. Continue now to raise up witnesses for your work of renewal and reform, that we may all grow more deeply into that mystery of communion that is your church. Come now and sustain the ongoing reformation of your church. We ask this all through your child, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our special music this morning from the Holy Trinity Choir.
The reading is from Romans, the third chapter. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works. No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one, and he will justify the circumcised on the ground of faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
Today's gospel is from John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And they answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So, if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, I have to tell you today that I feel for our daughter, Miriam. Because I remember growing up the same age as the pastor's kid in my church that I grew up in. And every time the pastor gave a sermon and included a story about his family, I could see my classmate's face just getting red. And I could see that she was looking for either a way to dart out the side of the church or to go unplug her dad's microphone. Because pastor's kids, also known as PKs, kind of have unique challenges growing up. And Alicia and I are aware that our daughter's not just a PK, she's a double PK. Woo! So, we've tried to learn from other PKs who have survived growing up. In fact, even PKs that have loved it. In hopes that their experiences can tell us how we can help Miriam have a good experience as well. And there's this one particular pastor's kid named Shelley. And we've come to know and to talk to over the years. And she talked to us about how it was interesting when she was growing up. She said her family was very aware that every dollar they spent was someone else's gift to God. Every dollar they spent was someone else's gift to God. So I have to admit, it can be weird sometimes. It can feel weird sometimes to work for the church because every meal we eat, every bill we pay, every item of clothing we wear comes from a salary that you generous people of Holy Trinity give as an offering to God. So then when it comes to some of those discretionary items in life, you can't help but think, would someone want their offering used on something like this? It gives an interesting perspective on life, I have to say. Because everything we have is ours, yes, but really, everything we have is God's. All that we have is because of gifts given to God. So when that hit us, we asked Shelley, how'd she deal with that? How'd you get used to living like that? And what Shelley said in response to us really hit us. She said this. She said that growing up that way actually gave her a really helpful perspective on life. She said, "Isn't this the way we should all view our lives? Everything we have is actually a gift to God, a gift from God." So today we're talking about stewardship as we prepare for our commitment Sunday next Sunday. And the word steward is kind of a funny word, and I have to tell you about it. The word steward comes from an Anglo-Saxon term called sty warden. The warden of the sty, the one who took care of the pigs. So the warden of the sty, stewardship, comes from the caretaker of the pigs. And that puts stewardship in perspective a little bit. But it captures the sense that stewardship is taking care of someone else's things, someone else's belongings, someone else's pigs, if you will, someone else's things. And Psalm 23 says that the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. Psalm 24, if I said Psalm 23, I apologize. Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. God is the owner, so all we have actually belongs to God. Not 1%, not 10%. But 100% of what we have is God's. God is owner. We are simply the caretakers. We are the wardens of the pigs, if you will, the wardens of the sty. So whether you're a pastor's kid or not, we are all caretakers of what is not ours, for all we have is God's. So it's November, and in November, we all make commitments for the next year so that our leadership team can make informed and prayerful decisions on how we can and should prioritize as a congregation in this next year. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for each of you making a commitment to the future of Holy Trinity. And I also want you to know that our Hilding family is receiving from Holy Trinity, yes, but we're also committed to giving. And the Bible talks about a tithe, which is 10% of your income given to God. And Alicia, Miriam, and I are tithing to this church because we believe in the mission and ministry of this place, but also because we simply believe that stewardship is something God calls us to do. But if talking about money in the church is something that makes you cringe a little bit, you're in good company with a guy by the name of Martin Luther. So as we continue our 500 in free sermon series, this is the third week of three, celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, I have to tell you a little story about what got Martin Luther really upset in the first place. It's talking about money. So there was a young guy, 24-year-old guy, by the name of Albrecht of Brandenburg, who was appointed Archbishop of Magdeburg. And not long thereafter, he also became administrator of the monastery. And not long thereafter, he became Archbishop of Mainz, too, quickly becoming one of the most powerful men in all of Germany, but all of this responsibility for him cost a fortune. And Albrecht needed money. About the same time, Pope Leo X was wanting to leave his legacy. He wanted to finish the great basilica dedicated to St. Peter. And to finance this mighty project, Pope Leo needed money. And so he issued a sale of indulgences. Now, what are indulgences, you might ask? Indulgences were a way to reduce eternal punishment from God for sins one has committed. So by buying these indulgences, you could pay to erase the punishment that you were destined to receive from God for the things you'd done wrong. Or you could buy an indulgence to pay for the sins a loved one has already committed. So if you give to this church, if you give to the church to pay for indulgences, then you'll receive your reward. If you give, you'll receive this reward, which is the forgiveness of your sin. So both the Archbishop and the Pope needed a lot of money, and they came up with this plan. So Albrecht agreed to sell these indulgences within the territories that he was responsible for if the Pope agreed to split the profits 50-50. So the Pope said, deal. All right. And so they hired someone to lead their capital campaign. And that was Johann Tetzel. When Tetzel set up shop in Luther's area of Germany to sell these indulgences, Luther had a problem. Luther didn't like this plan because he felt like people were being taken advantage of. He felt like people were being manipulated into giving to the church in order to receive a reward. He didn't like what was happening here because Luther believed that buying indulgences did not bring people into a relationship with Christ. And when he read the Bible, he didn't see indulgences in there. Christ did not command us to preach indulgences, he said. Christ commanded us to preach the gospel. So Luther realized that this formula up here, if you give, then you'll receive your reward. Luther realized that this formula was wrong. The gospel isn't that if we give money to indulgences, if we pay, if we do the right thing, if we tithe, then God will reward us. The gospel is that without our doing anything to deserve it, without paying anything, Christ already paid it all. Our reward comes not from what we give, but from what Christ has given to us. So the gospel is this little equation flipped around. Our reward from God, God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's salvation comes first without anything we do to deserve it. And because of that, it changes the way we see things. We see all we have as a gift from God. And because of that, we can't help but give ourselves. Because of that, we can't help but give ourselves. So this is what prompted Luther to write those 95 theses we've been talking about for a couple weeks. And for people that didn't know better about the Bible, they were thrilled to find out that they didn't have to pay their way out of sin. So this list of 95 theses, they spread like wildfire because people were excited to share the good news that God already loved them. They'd already received their reward. They didn't have to pay a price because Jesus already did. But if you think about it, by posting these 95 theses, and he sent a copy of these theses to Albrecht himself, Luther did a dangerous move. Because what happened was the sale of indulgences fell off dramatically in the months that followed, putting a wrench into the capital campaign plans. So this was a threat to Albrecht and to the Pope. So the stage was set. A little monk from Germany taking on the most powerful political and religious authorities in Europe. And that begins the story of the Reformation. But today our gospel reads that if we continue in Jesus' words, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And in the world of faith, we don't have any debt because it's already been paid off by God. Because of the truth of Jesus Christ, we have been set free indeed. So today, I invite you to join our family in making a commitment to Holy Trinity for the 2018 year. But please don't feel like you need to do so out as a way to earn a reward in the eyes of the church or in the eyes of God, because we do not give in order to earn grace, love, and forgiveness from God. We give because we've already received our reward. And as we celebrate these 500 years of this flipped formula here, we continue to tell the story not out of obligation, but out of freedom. So may we recognize that all we have and all that we are comes from God in the first place. And we're just called to be the best caretakers or wardens of this die that we can be. Because the Son sets us free, we are free indeed. Amen.
Thank you.
So, Lord, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And as you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing that Christ goes with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you watching over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing together. Now may we go in peace to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.